Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And our next guest is actually a big Canes football fan, and he also is the host of Rear Naked Choke Radio at RNC Radio on Twitter. You can follow him on Twitter at Rear Naked Choke. Joe Rizzo joins us now here on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved two blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Joe, I know you enjoyed last Saturday, my man. How you feeling?
How am I feeling? Let's just say this. I got myself ready for this spot with you guys by watching I'm Hurt Dog about 12 times
yes,
in a row.
Ed Reed, baby.
Okay.
That's so great.
That's what I am bringing tonight. Hey, Frank, has Notre Dame gotten to 10 points yet?
No, but that's an amusing comment. But we're still around. We accepted our loss like men.
I
stayed for the game. I was there. I wore my colors, and I look forward to seeing the Mighty Hurricanes again. Hopefully, not in the too distant future.
Wow.
Well, at least you showed up. On to MMA, boys.
Yeah, you, Joe. Talk to me about Cyborg Holly Holm. I'm glad that this fight has come together. I'm glad Cyborg is getting a new contract. How do you see the fight playing out? Because obviously, you know, Holly has not been on the best run in the UFC aside from the huge victory over Ronda Rousey. But I feel like she is, with the way she fights, a very tough matchup for anybody.
This is a good fight. I mean, listen, anytime we can get Cyborg in the cage with somebody who appears that is going to be able to test her, which, you know, this certainly should be the biggest test of her, you know, of her career, because Holm is just so much more of a polished professional. And, you know, the other thing is, even though she's fought a lot and been 135-pound champion, Holly Holm is unlike a lot of Cyborg's other opponents in that she can really carry the weight and not lose so much size going up to 145. So that's been a distinct difference in most of Cyborg's fights where she's fought, even when she was fighting like at 140 in some of those fights in the past. But like at 145, there's such a power difference and such a size difference that really, you know, she only has to land one of those brutal shots to just completely turn the fight over. And, you know, against Holm, I mean, Holm wants you to come at her. The more aggressive Holm's opponents are with their fists and with their kicks, actually the better Holly Holm usually performs. It's when opponents lean back and wait for Holly Holm to attack. That's when she's had a lot of the trouble, like against Raquel Pennington, say, as an example. You know, Pennington was not somebody that really looked like she should have been in Holm's league. And Holm did win, like, a very close decision, which I thought she actually lost. But Pennington made her bring the fight to her instead of having to counter. Cyborg does not fight like that. Cyborg is going to run through hell and high water to stalk you, chase you down, cut off the cage. And, again, the size advantage shouldn't be as evident. I mean, she always is going to look bigger, but even from a height standpoint and a reach standpoint, she's actually going to be at a little bit of a, you know, an even play or even a slight disadvantage in some of those numbers, which she almost never is. So I like the matchmaking. I think it's a good fight. You know, we were going to see Megan Anderson, I guess, in that spot at some point. She ended up having like some kind of visa issues a couple of months back and had to, you know, pull out of that fight. And, you know, obviously, now that they're rescheduling this thing for December 30th in Las Vegas, you know, I guess if it was going to be in Australia, maybe Megan Anderson could have done it. But, you know, they still have to figure out something there. And you know what? That's fine. It's probably better for the 145-pound division today if we see this fight now and still give Megan Anderson a little bit more time to cook. You know, she can get a few more fights maybe under her belt before she's ready, you know, to fully give the best performance that she can against Cyborg if she ever wants to be the one to dethrone her if Holm doesn't get there first. I like the fight. You know what else, though? Jimmy Rivera at 135 is also on that card too, and he's a guy that, you know, he's from, you know, really literally my neck of the woods. I've known him since, you know, before he could walk into a bar and get a legal drink. Not that he even does anyway at this point. He's a very local guy to where I am in North Jersey, and he can't be too far. You know, if he wins whoever they give him against whoever they give him here.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you if you have any idea, if you suspect who they're going to give him now that Dominic Cruz is out of that fight.
Yeah, I don't know who they're going to. I mean, obviously, if Cruz didn't have to get removed for the broken arm, then, you know, for certain that would have been, you know, a winner gets next shot at the title. So I don't really know. I mean, I think it still is for Jimmy. I think it still is, regardless of what kind of opponent they put in there. And now we're talking about, you know, Cruz pulled out, I guess, about, you know, something like 10 days ago, something like that. And, you know, they haven't named an opponent yet, but I have a feeling it's because they're probably trying to pick somebody a little bit on the better side rather than making it, you know, a walkover type person for Jimmy Rivera. So I think whoever they put in there, I feel comfortable that if Jimmy Rivera wins that fight, he's going to get a title shot for his next one. But if he loses it, I wouldn't say, you know, that's going to depend on whoever his opponent actually is. So we'll see. But I'm intrigued because Jimmy's, you know, Jimmy and I go back a while, and it's kind of like, you know, the American Top Team guys with you guys that pop into studio. That's like Jimmy Rivera is like that guy to me.
And, you know, in that bantamweight division, what do you see TJ Dillashaw's next move being? I know what he wants to do. He wants to go down to 125 to take on Demetrius Johnson. Do you see that fight getting consummated? And is that the right move for Dillashaw to go down? Or should after Demetrius has done pretty much anything a man can do in that weight class, should he be moving up to fight Dillashaw?
I'm a little torn on that. I'll sort of believe it when I see it. And, you know, I don't know that Demetrius Johnson is just going to let it go at 125. What if Demetrius says, oh, no, I want to go up to 135 and fight him up there. So, you know, the one thing I don't think we'll see if those guys fight is a catchweight. I think they'll either fight at 125 or 135. And then funny thing is, and I kind of thought about this scenario before, if that fight ends up being close, forget which weight it's at the first time, it would be kind of interesting if that's like a split decision or a really close fight, a contested fight, they could do a rematch at the opposite weight for a title again, right?
Yeah. I mean,
so that there's a little bit of an intriguing possibility there. I think maybe for that reason, that's sort of the reason, guys, that I feel like they would almost do the fight at 135 rather than 125.
I think first, I'm with you on
because
that.
Then if they, yeah, then if they rematch, they could do it at 125. So, you know, either way, I think that adds a little bit of intrigue in there to me. But I'm not sure, you know, with Dillashaw's schedule and everything and how things go with Rivera, that, you know, I mean, I could imagine Rivera versus Dillashaw in March somewhere, you know, as we come back from the sort of like, you know, usually like that, you know, Super Bowl card is kind of the only thing that's happening. That's a big, big card in the UFC, at least North American-wise. That's usually what it's like, you know, for the first couple of months of the year, and then they come back with a bigger event in March. I could see those guys being on there. But I suppose I could look at the whole schedule and see if they have other big events planned. But really, you know, the schedule doesn't look like it's too crazy in that time. You know, they're going to Australia, they're going to Texas, Orlando, Boston. You know, I don't think there's anything, like, really, really huge in there where they couldn't fit that fight in, and like, you know, maybe in March in UFC 222 or something. I mean, I'm just throwing stuff against the wall, but interesting stuff nonetheless. It at least gives us something to look at for two of those divisions in the lighter weights. I mean, 135 has a lot of excitement. There's really no shortage there, but 125's really been, you know, just so dominated by Demetrius Johnson that, you know, it's nice to see a little intrigue, at least something for us to discuss there.
Joe Rizzo, host of Rear Naked Choke Radio, joining us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. You know, Joe, of course, we've talked a little bit, quite a bit tonight about Conor McGregor, his antics in the Bellator cage with his friend Charlie Ward, the little altercation he had with Mark Goddard, the referee, which, well, I say little altercation, but it was a very big deal to me. And obviously the punishment would be more severe if it wasn't Conor McGregor. But isn't it a little bit of a sham for the UFC to come out and say, well, okay, we're pulling him off of a December 30th fight when I don't think he was ever really planning on fighting December 30th. And our punishment is we're not going to let him fight until April, when that's probably when he was planning to fight in the first place.
I don't really know that I could add much to that, because I think I pretty much agree with everything you said. And I think the excuse is, well, you know, it didn't happen in a UFC cage. So that makes it kind of, you know, they don't have to sort of come down on him as hard as they otherwise would. I mean, by the time he fights again in a UFC cage, how long is it going to be since the last time he fought in a UFC cage as opposed to a UFC?
Like a year and a half, right?
It's going to have been a long time. Yeah, it's going to have been a long time by the time he does that. So, you know, convenience, yes. They were taking advantage of something that happened and were able to just say, oh, you know what, we might as well just say we're pulling him off of the December 30th card and not let, you know, these super loyal Irish fans spend money speculatively to fly out to Vegas or something for December 30th. I mean, what we talk about over here is the idea that there would be some kind of card, some UFC card added to Madison Square Garden for March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, that would feature Conor McGregor. I mean, my friends literally have a thread that's talking about this now and texting. So, and what a show that would be with, you know, on St. Patrick's Day in New York City to have Conor McGregor fight at the Garden would just be, you know, Let's face it, complete insanity.
I would want to go up there for that, to be honest with you.
And well, yeah, but here's the thing: there's a card in London that same night. However, that is a UFC fight night, 127, and UFC 222 is March 3rd, which we were just talking about in Vegas. So theoretically, they could do a second one kind of there if they wanted to have the Garden and if all things align. I didn't even know if the Garden's open. I mean, I didn't look at the Knicks or Rangers schedule or anything like that. But I know, Alex, you don't want to talk about hockey because then we're going to get into the Devils beating the Panthers.
That's right. You got me, my friend. You got me.
Yeah. I'm not going to mention that either. Yeah, that would be cool, though. I mean, I know people would be going nuts for that over here if it actually did happen, but more just speculation. Nothing on the schedule, but nothing scheduled past March 17th in the UFC calendar, as far as I know. The last thing I see scheduled is March 17th, O2 Arena in London. Again, that is a fight night card, and it wouldn't conflict with a North American headlining UFC 223 card.
Last thing here is, you know, the Conor McGregor story, I would say, is assault related. So let's stay on the assault tip. I got to get your thoughts on two guys, you know, Colby Covington and the game that he's playing, trolling an entire country, whether that's really going to backfire on him. And then Fabricio Verdum throwing a boomerang at him. Who throws a boomerang? Seriously.
If you throw it well, I mean, that's kind of maybe kudos. I mean, no, it's showmanship. I mean, obviously Covington's doing it to troll, and he's doing it to build his name, and he's doing a good job of it. And Verdum clearly is taking it personal, and he's taking it personally on behalf of his country. So he's just, you know, he's just not letting, he doesn't want to let the guy get away with it. And it ends up being press for both guys, right? I mean, look, we're talking about it, aren't we?
That's true.
You know, what does it really amount to in the end? Like, it's not like those guys are ever going to fight each other, are they?
So, no.
You know, if they did, then, I mean, I know who I would bet on.
Yeah,
but
well, maybe that'll be like, if they bring back Pride, that'll be like an open weight Grand Prix fight.
Yeah, I don't think they're bringing back Pride anytime soon, though. But you never know. You never know. And some of those Japanese fights, they still do it under, you know, all kinds of different names, right? And they love those kind of unique matchup fights, at least, you know, still I think they do. But anyway, Do I have to give out any winners for Gulfstream Park West tomorrow? Oh, sorry, wrong job.
So you would actually be able to give a hot tip on that? I'll take a winner.
Oh boy, let's see. I need like 1 second. I think I had one up on my phone here. I'm gonna cheat and use one of my DRF colleagues' picks if I have it. Hold on. I'm not doing well in the segment here. I don't have it. I thought I had it on my back screen.
Well, why don't you, if you text it to me, I will blast it out. I want to win the people some money.
I know. I want to win the people some money too, but usually I'm much better at losing the money for the people. That's why I'm, that's why I'm not a professional handicapper. I just play one on TV. I don't even play one on TV anymore. It's hard to get those TV gigs as a handicapper. Wait, hold on. I think I might be able to get it.
We got it. Do we have a winner?
Was it sixth race or fifth race or sixth?
I just want to hear if it's the name of Hockman's horse. One of our hosts here is he owns 1/64th of a racehorse. I want to hear if it might be his. I can't remember the name, but I'll know it when I hear it.
Hopefully he doesn't own the worst 64th of it. It's race 5, Gulfstream Park, West Saturday. Number 9, see ya in the test barn. That's what we'll go with. My colleague Mike Welch is best bet for tomorrow, so I'll give kudos to Mike Welch. I fixed his computer once.
What a name. I love that.
Yeah.
He is Joe Rizzo.
There it is.
Oh, you want to follow this man on Twitter at Rear Naked Choke. He is the host of RNC Radio. Joe, thank you so much for the time, man. This guy does everything. Can talk Cyborg, can talk Verdum throwing boomerangs, can talk horse racing. Joe, I cannot thank you enough, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.